Being an effective teacher in this day and age is not a simple task. One must display sensitivity and a sense of knowledge of the current issues of a typical Jewish adolescent child. Many researchers have found findings which support the concept that as students grow older, their attitudes become more and more negative towards school. An ongoing issue is the relevance of Jewish studies and Judaic studies curriculum. Many of the laws I taught recently can actually be found in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Mishpatim. A few years ago, I taught Baba Kama and the intricate laws of an ox that gores. When does it pay nezek shalem, chatzi nezek, full damages, half damages? We discussed the issues also of a donkey falling into a pit. We learned that one is responsible to pay for the damages even when the pit was dug in Rosh Hashanah in public thoroughfare. Some students sheepishly would raise their hands and ask me, "Who cares? This will never happen to me. I'll never own an ox, and I certainly don't even make my bed. Think I'm going to dig a ditch? What's the point of all this?" I didn't have a much more fortunate year the following school year, teaching the third chapter in Baba Metzia. We were learning about the different responsibilities and obligations of the Arba Shomrim, the four guards. Still my students asked, "So what? Why do I need to know this type of stuff? A borrower, a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, were they negligent? Was it an accident? Why do I need to know this? It's irrelevant. It doesn't affect me in any way." And it's necessary as a teacher to realize that their questions aren't an attack on one's beliefs. These inquiries are actually innate. In fact, Goodled and Tyler in the text Curriculum Inquiry in 1983 said, quote, "Persons are always creating and obtaining meaning in life," unquote. And Frazier in the text Open Schools for Education in 1972 said, quote, "There is a drive for personal and social relevance," unquote. This stated, how do we respond to our students, and to ourselves for that matter, when the question is asked, "So what? What does this have to do with me in my life?" I'd like to share today two traditional approaches to this timeless issue. The Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph asks the question, if you want to be a chassid, you want to be a pious individual, what should you do? Says the Gemara, "Man demoy l'mahavi chassida l'kayim mili debrachos." Fulfill words of brachos, which means when you say a bracha, say it with kavana, with intention. Another opinion is l'kayim mile d'avos. Fulfill the words of our forefathers. Could mean Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Maybe it means perki avos, ethics, being a moral person. That's how one could strive to become a chassid. What's most difficult are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Om Rabbi Yehuda, hay man deboy l'mahavi chassida l'kayim mile d'nezikin. Fulfill the laws that pertain to damages, to civil and tort law. Now, I can understand how spirituality, ruchnias, and kedusha, and holiness can be obtained through saying a bracha with proper concentration. Improving one's moral ethics and midos is also extremely important to become more righteous, to become a chassid. But what does nezikin have to do with being an ish kadosh, a holy person? The answer, everything. We must sensitize ourselves, and especially our youth, with the understanding that the pages of Baba Kama discuss more than just untamed beasts roaming the streets. There's an owner in that equation. Where was that owner? Why wasn't he watching his animal to guarantee that no one could get injured? That owner has a communal responsibility to ensure that the world is a safe place to live in. He did not live up to this communal responsibility. And Baba Metsiya is more than the oath of guards of Shomrim. It teaches us to be sensitive to the belongings of others. When someone gives you an object, treat it at least with the same respect and seriousness as though it were your own object. Seder Nezikin, therefore, educates children and adults alike that the world doesn't revolve around them. One is only capable of serving Hashem when they realize that there is something beyond themselves. A self-centered, egotistical person is in fact likened to an Oyvid of Avodah Zarah, an idol worshiper. This is because they're engaged in self-worship. To them, nothing else exists. No one else is important. Such a person can never acquire righteousness. Only a person who is sensitive in the laws of Nezikin, someone who cares for and thinks about others, can reach the status of a chassid, that of a pious person. Second approach is based on what I always tell my students. I tell them that we are part of a unique and special religion. Some of us mistakenly think that religion should remain in the synagogue, in the Beit HaKnesses. Others extend religion to their homes, or maybe to the yeshiva, to the day schools, but no further. When one is confronted in business with a shady deal, they rationalize in their minds and say, well, business is business. That's a mistake. We must educate our children and ourselves that every aspect of our lives potentially can be connected to Judaism. From the way we put on our shoes in the morning to the way we talk, from the way we eat to which side of the bed we should sleep on, everything has meaning. Imagine that for a moment, that idea. Every action we take, every word that comes out of our mouths, all has a source and connection in our religion. Even the seemingly most mundane physical acts can be elevated to holiness. From drinking an intoxicating beverage for Kiddush on Friday night, to getting married and raising children. We can potentially serve Hashem 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This includes the way we conduct ourselves in business, the mili de nezikin, the matters of civil and tort law. A righteous person isn't a hypocrite. They don't live two lives, one in shul and the other in the office. They view everything as an opportunity to serve Hashem and uplift the mundane. We too must realize that Judaism isn't about displaying multiple personalities. We need to strive to become an ish tam, a complete person. I understand what it's like to make a havdalah, a separation from kodesh and chol. The high school years in Neri Yisrael had Judaic studies in the morning and general studies in the afternoon. During the morning, my Rebbe always would call me by my Hebrew name, Boaz. In the afternoon, I would prefer to be called by my English name, Brad. One afternoon, I encountered my Rebbe in the hallway as I was heading to my next class. He looked at me with a sparkle in his eyes, and he said only one word, Brad? And he said it in such a tone that I'll never forget the way he asked that question. What he meant by his tone was very clear. You're Boaz in the morning, during davening, during shiurim, during Torah learning. You are also a Boaz in the afternoon too. There is no Brad. There is no Havdal. You should always feel that you're here to serve. The truth is that it's easier to be a practicing Jew when you're in a synagogue. That is our safe haven, where we can practice our religion freely without embarrassment or feeling vulnerable. The test is remaining strong with our convictions when we're at work. This is when it's more difficult. This is where your character and commitment will stand out. During the Mili Dinazikin, the matters of civil and tort law. I'd like to share with you a story of a Jewish man that I know that served in the American Army. He would always wear his Magen David for everyone to see. Someone once went up to him and asked him, "Why do you wear your necklace exposed so as not to cover up who you are? Why is it important to show the entire world that you're a Jew?" And he responded, "That's just it. I am a Jew. Regardless of where I am or which uniform I wear, I am first and foremost a Jew." This is the meaning of the first pasuk in our parsha. The Torah opens the Eile HaMishpatim, and these are the laws. Rashi is bothered with the prefix. What is the correlation between these laws here and those mentioned previously in Parshat Yisro? Rashi answers, "Ma harishonim misinai, av elu misinai." Just as those mitzvot were given at Har Sinai, so to these mitzvos, the Mili Dinazikin, were also given at Sinai. Now I understand why the previous Parsha's mitzvos are important to improve our spirituality and connect to Sinai. This was the Aseret Dibros, the Decalogue, the very foundation of our religious beliefs. But the mitzvos of Mishpatim discuss issues of compensation for damages. You seemingly can't come close to Hashem by adhering to those laws, right? Wrong. Rashi is teaching us, Af Elu Misinai, the road to a Sinai existence can also be accomplished by keeping the Mishpatim, the Mili Dinazikin, the civil and tort laws. Here my students are, searching for the relevance in their studies. They must realize that Seder Nezikin is relevant. That is exactly the reason why we're studying such seemingly mundane material. Even walking your friend's dog is rooted in holiness. Borrowing your neighbor's basketball too has halakhic ramifications. The mitzvot in Parsha Mishpatim should instill into our children this notion. Judaism is more than a series of random acts. They are a way of life that embody our every thought and every action. Seder Nezikin provides the example of how ordinary dealings can be transformed into a more sacred act. This is one of the greatest messages that we can ever instill upon our children and ourselves. Everything is relevant. Good Shabbos.